everyone. This is Ashley and
Sid.
And last year we made a podcast together about one of our favorite hobbies, which was art. And we realized we have a lot of other passions because we are both two very creative people. So in this podcast, we will be sharing some of those with you. And each episode, we're going to kind of switch on and off. Sid will talk about one of her hobbies or passions, and then I'll talk about one of mine. And Sid, do you want to talk about what we're going to be chatting about today?
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about Norse mythology. I guess to start off, Norse mythology is filled with, like, stories of different clans of gods and their, like, troubles and problems and stuff. There's three clans of gods, the Aesir, the Vanir, and the Jotuns, which are giants. And then most of the gods are descendant from the Jotuns. They're also the enemy of the gods, which is kind of interesting. But the Aesir and the Vanir used to be at war, but now they're at peace. And then Odin is, like, the most notable is probably Odin. He's the Allfather. He's the god of war, wisdom, and travel. He's also the king of the gods. And Thor is one of Odin's many sons. He's the storm god and the protector of humans. And then there's Loki, who is a child of two giants, but he's still considered as part of the Aesir. He's the god of chaos and mischief.
Nice.
Yeah.
What got you into this Norse mythology? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Norse mythology?
Yeah. Well, I think I got interested in it to start with because I was, like, watching the Marvel movies and stuff.
Mm.
And also this show called Ragnarok that I found on Netflix. It's really good. But yeah. Then my mom told me that she's like 75% Norwegian, which I thought was really cool. So then I started like leaning deeper, like leaning more into Norse mythology and like kind of away from the media's representation of it. And just kind of like looking into, I guess, the quote-unquote source material, because there's not really any source material, because anything that was written about like Norse myth was written from the Christian point of view and not from, you know, Norse pagans. So because the Vikings, they never wrote anything down, so.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of Thor and Loki and Odin. I love the Marvel movies. And Thor, that film series, is probably some of my favorite Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
So did you know that they were Norse mythology when you were watching them?
Yeah. I think I did because I was already kind of familiar with Norse mythology on, like, a basic level. So, yeah. How about you?
I had no idea. I mean, I knew they were some type of gods or whatever, but I didn't really know much about that. What would you say the difference is between, like, what you're talking about, the media representation of it, and the source material?
Yeah, I think Loki, to start with, is pretty much the same. He's very mischievous, very kind of misunderstood, and I see that a lot in both the myths and the media's representation of him. Odin is a little different. In Ragnarok, I'm not entirely sure how he's represented. I haven't finished watching it, but in the Marvel movies, he's very, like, stoic and, like, okay, the way I see him in the Thor movies is, like, the king and, like, the god of wisdom and magic, sort of. But, like, I don't see him as the god of war as well, which I think that's interesting because he is the god of war, wisdom, and he's associated with magic and the myths. So, but like then there's Thor, who's pretty much the same in every representation of him that I can find as well. He's like a protector of humans and I also think it's interesting that in the Thor movies, the Marvel movies, Hela, the goddess, the death goddess Hela, she's Thor and Loki's sister. But in the myths, she's Loki's daughter.
Mm. And weren't you talking about how the wolf or something was also Loki's son?
Yeah, Fenrir is also Loki's child. Fenrir is the giant wolf that helps bring about Ragnarok. And Ragnarok is not just a show. It's basically the end of the world in Norse mythology. Yeah, it's interesting. It's 'cause they refer to it as the end of the world, but it's like it basically Balder, the god of like peace and light, dies, and then he's supposed to be brought back, but he isn't, and Odin and two other creator gods find two pieces of driftwood. One is ash and one is elm. And they make humans again out of those pieces of driftwood. They named those two people Ask and Embla from ash and elm trees. So
interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of like Adam and Eve, but Norse mythology.
I know you mentioned that you like Loki as much as I liked Loki. Loki, I mean, I would say I liked Loki as in the Marvel version of Loki. Mm-hmm. I just, my cousin and I loved him because we just said he was misunderstood and he's such a likable character, even though he was, like, technically the first villain in, like, the Marvel universe, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But he's such a likable character and I think a lot of people like Loki. So you should talk a little bit more about Loki and, like, what he is in, like, actual Norse mythology, not just, like, the Marvel character of him.
Yeah, so like you said, the Marvel character is very misunderstood and very 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 much a likable character. I think in Norse myth he's kind of the same, but I think he's less like tragic than he is in most media representations of him. I think in Norse myth, he's much more chaotic and mischievous, and I think, yeah, I've noticed something in the myths that I've read with him in them. He's actually the one responsible for a lot of change that happens.
Mm.
So, like, I think it was Freya who had golden hair, and Loki, when she wasn't paying attention, Loki cut her hair, and she, I think she's the, goddess of, harvest, I believe. It could be somebody else, I'm not sure, but anyway, so then she started, like, neglecting taking care of the crops, and that's pretty much how winter came about, and then Loki made her new hair, I guess, and then she stopped neglecting the crops. So yeah,
interesting.
Basically Loki is responsible for bringing about winter and the change of seasons, and also he's the one who tricked another god into killing Baldur during Ragnarok, so he's also kind of responsible for Ragnarok. and responsible for all that change. So I like to think of him as both a chaos god and a change god. So, yeah.
Well, when you keep saying Ragnarok, I didn't know what it was until you explained it, but, like, they made Thor Ragnarok. I didn't really know that. And then they made the show you were talking about. Yeah. But when you say Ragnarok, I think of, like, a planet. I don't know. But, like, it does make sense if they think of it as, like, the end of the world or something.
Yeah.
Because in that Thor Ragnarok movie, that's essentially what was happening. Like, the whole planet was, like, blowing up or whatever. And, like,
yeah.
So that makes sense now, but that completely went over my head. And I thought it was, like, the planet that they were on for a while, but whatever.
No, I like the, speaking of planets and different realms, I do like the Marvel movies' representation of the nine realms in Norse myth, because there's actually, I don't even know how many realms there are. There's probably more than nine, but so the main ones are
Asgard.
There we go. Okay, so yeah, there's Asgard, which is where the Aesir gods live, and then there's Vanaheim, where the Vanir gods live, and then there's Alfheim, which is where the light elves live, and then Svartalheim?
Yeah.
Is, I believe, it's either the dark elves or the dwarves.
It says the dark elves.
Okay, yeah. And then, I don't remember what the dwarves' realm is called, but then there's Niflheim, which is hell, basically, but it's ice and cold. And then there's Jotunheim, which is pretty much the same, but it's also where the giants live, or the Jotuns, hence the name Jotunheim. Mm-hmm. And then there's Muspelheim, which is, it's basically the equivalent of Christian hell. It's fiery.
It says it's fire giants.
Oh, fire giants.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know there was fire giants, but that makes sense.
Land of fire and home of the fire giants.
Mm. I didn't know there was fire giants.
How do you say that? Muspelheim?
Muspelheim.
Muspelheim.
Yeah.
How do you say the sports?
Svartalheim.
Svartalheim?
Yeah.
Those are fun to say.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know. I completely forgot about Asgard and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Midgard?
Oh, yeah, Midgard. That's Earth.
Yeah. It says it's like, yeah, Middle Earth.
Yeah.
Land of humans.
Yep.
Interesting. So now when you watch Thor, you can maybe kind of understand what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Because I think they have said Midgard.
Yeah. They say Midgard a few times in there. But yeah, I like their representation of some of the nine realms, especially Jotunheim. I thought that one was really interesting. And I liked their representation of Asgard. And I believe they had either Vanaheim or Alfheim.
Okay.
Thank you.
I just showed her a picture.
Yeah, I think they had either Vanaheim or Alfheim in the second movie, the beginning, which I thought was interesting. I didn't know where it was when I first watched it, but when I rewatched it after knowing a little bit more about Norse mythology, I realized that it was a different realm.
Just looking at these reminds me. So, you know the guy with the, like, eyes who can see everywhere?
Oh, yeah.
I forgot his name.
Heimdall.
Yeah. Is he a guy, and is he real, or did Marvel just make him up?
No, he's actually in Norse myth. He's, I'm fairly certain he's a god as well.
Mm.
He's the god of for he's associated with foresight, which is very accurate to the Marvel depiction of him, which I thought was interesting.
Rainbow Bridge. Is that real? There's an actual rainbow bridge in Norse mythology.
I'm
It
not
says,
sure, actually.
well, maybe this is going off the Marvel one, but it says Heimdall is a Norse god who is the guardian of Asgard and the watchman of the Rainbow Bridge.
Yeah, he's. Yeah, I really like Marvel's representation of him. I thought it was very
Yeah, he's
accurate.
also a very likable character.
Yes,
Because
for
I just
sure.
remember my cousin. I mean, obviously, he's a really good guy, but I just remember my cousin loving him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is Heimdall stronger than Thor? That's one of the frequently asked questions on Google. Oh, it says he is generally stronger and more durable than all but a few Asgardians, such as Odin and Thor. So, no, he is not. Probably stronger than Loki, though.
Probably.
Yeah.
I also think it's interesting that Loki tends to I mean, it's probably because he is a giant that he all of his children are, end up being giants, like Fenrir and Sleipnir, which was actually I don't think Sleipnir is a giant. Sleipnir is a six or eight-legged horse. I don't remember the number, but he's also Odin's horse, but it's Loki's kid.
That's weird.
Yeah.
It also says here, is Heimdall, am I saying that, Heimdall?
Yeah.
Is he Odin's son? And it says he is his son.
Is he really?
Yeah, that's what it says here.
Interesting.
Yeah. Very cool. I
Yeah.
learned a lot today.
Me too.
Heimdall also hates Loki.
Probably,
But I think a lot of people do. Probably in
yeah.
that world. Here on Midgard, though, a lot of people like him.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you have anything else to add?
Nope.
Nope. Okay, well, thanks everybody for listening. I hope you learned a little bit, and I hope you next time you watch the Thor or Marvel movies, you can kind of put some pieces together, which I think next time I watch Thor, or I haven't even watched the new Thor yet, so maybe when I watch that, I can put some more pieces together. But yeah, thanks for listening. On the next episode, I'll talk about one of my passions, which is probably going to be about shopping and my shopping addiction. So, yeah. Thanks for listening.